हरि ओम तत्सत श्री कृभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओम नमो भगवते श्री दक्षिणामूर्ति स्वरूपाय श्री दयानंद रूपाय परम गुरवे परमात्मने परब्रह्मणे यस्माज्जातं जगत् सर्वं यस्मिन्नेव प्रलीयते येनेदं धार्यते चैव तस्मै ज्ञानात्मने नमः। टुडे वी आर गोइंग टू बिगिन अवर फिफ्थ अनुवाकः, पंचमः अनुवाकः। वी जस्ट स्टार्टेड लास्ट क्लास, लेट अस कंटिन्यू। इन दिस फिफ्थ अनुवाकः आल्सो उपनिषद मेरली प्रेजेंट्स द मेडिटेशन। Here, the symbols taken for meditation are Vyahrutayah. Therefore, the meditation is said to be Vyahruti Upasanam, Vyahruti Upasanam. And what is that which is meditated upon? Is Sagunam Brahma. Omkaraha, invoked as Sagunam Brahma, is meditated upon these Vyahrutis. What does the word Vyahrutihi means? I explained last class. There is Harati is the verb. A and V, two prefixes are there. V Aharati becomes Vyaharati. Harati snatches away, takes away, robs. But Aharati takes in. Vyaharati, Vyaharati utters. So Vyaharanam uttering, Vyahritihi utterance. Vyaharati utters, Vyaharanam uttering, Vyahritihi utterance. So Vyahritihi is a Strilinga Shabda, feminine gender word. Vyaharanam is a neuter noun. You know that. It's a gerund. Okay. So here, the Vyahritis, what are the utterances here? Three words. Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Suvaha. These three words are said to be three auspicious utterances. Why are they said to be auspicious utterances? Because it is believed, it is said that these three words, Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Suvaha, were uttered by Lord Brahma at the time of creation. At the beginning of creation. Therefore, they are said to be auspicious utterances. And one more explanation is given. Vividheshu karmasu ahriyante iti Vyahriyant, Vyahritayaha. Vivideshu karmasu means they are used, upayujyante, Vyahriyante. These auspicious words are, these words are uttered during the performance of many, many rituals, in various rituals. Specifically, which are performed as Prayaschitta Karmani. Videshu karmasu vyakriyante. So they are uttered during the various rituals performed. Means they are used in the performance of various rituals. So which means they serve as means of neutralizing the unknowingly, unintentionally done papa karmas also. So prayaschittam karma, prayaschitta karmani means the rituals, a form of worship specifically performed for neutralizing unknowingly, inevitably done wrong actions. So these vyakritis are used. Therefore, they are known as vyakritayaha. These words are used. Therefore, they are said to be not simply utterances. They are auspicious utterances. I also mentioned in the last class, the entire Veda reduced becomes Gayatri Mantraha. The Surya, Savitri Mantra in Gayatri meter. And that Surya, Savitri Mantra in Gayatri meter reduced alone becomes these three auspicious utterances, Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Suvaha. These three utterances further reduced become Omkaraha. Therefore, we say Om as essence of all the mantras. I wanted to remind you, which I had told you many times before in my class. Okay. With understanding, let us see these mantras. Here, who is ultimately meditated upon here? When you say meditation, upasanam, definitely object of meditation must be upasyaha sada ishvaraha. Upasanam is meditation. Upasyaha, the Lord who is to be meditated upon, is upasyaha. Upasyaha ishvaraha. So here ishvaraha means definitely not attributeless reality, not nirgunam brahma. It is sagunam brahma, the Lord. The all attributes. They say the Lord, the very word Ishvaraha always means the whole. The unicosmos in its entirety is Ishvara. And here Sagunam Brahma in the form of Omkaraha is Ishvara here. So Ishvara being the whole is pervasive of everything that is here. Therefore, we have these three vyakritis. And in this mantra, one more vyakriti is going to be introduced. That vyakritihi is mahaha. So, bhuhu, bhuvaha, suvaha. These vyakritis are already there, well known. Well known means not for us. We only heard this bhuhu, bhuvaha, suvaha in this Savitri mantra. We only hear here and there in the puja, during puja times. Actually, for a Vedic student, those days, well, any student who was already given to the discipline of the study of Veda mantras, for him, he must have heard this quite often because always used. So they're very popular, well-known for a Vedic student. For us, now we only hear in this. For us means we are not actually the Vedic students. But still, we understand here these vyakritis. Okay. So here, these four vyakritis are presented. Chatasraha vyakritayaha. Already well-known vyakritayaha or tisraha vyakritayaha. I'm using the word plural word. Vyakritihi, singular. Vyakritayaha, plural. Tisraha Vyahrutayaha already well known. Three are well known. Yeka Vyahrutihi. The one Vyahruti is introduced here in this Anuvaka, which is Mahaha. So the four Vyahrutis are taken as symbols. The four Vyahrutis are four words are taken as Alambanani, symbols. You know, an Alambanam which has Avayavaha, which has limbs, is said to be Savayava Murtihi. Avayava Sahita Murtihi. Avayavaihi Sahita Murtihi. A form with limbs is known as Pratima. Nir Avayava Murtihi. Niravayava Murtihi. A form without limbs is said to be Pratika. Pratikam. Just as Omkaraha, a sound symbol, is a Pratikam. And here, Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Suvaha, Mahaha, all these words are also sound symbols. And these are the symbols. And Om, which stands for Sagunam Brahma, Hiranyagarbha, is all pervasive, pervasive of all the words. Therefore, Om, otherwise Hiranyagarbha, Sagunam Brahma, Ishwaraha, is symbolized by this Vyahrutihi Mahaha. The word Mahaha, Mahas means light also. But here Mahaha means like Mahan, Mahati, Mahat. The word Mahaha means great, big, huge, something which deserves reverence, which deserves worship, worshipfulness. This is the meaning of the word Mahaha, Mahas. Therefore, this Mahaha symbolizes, serves as an Alambanam for Alambanam of for Ishvara, which means Brahma, the trunk of Brahma. You personify Ishvara. So Mahaha stands for trunk of Ishvara. So it's called Angi. Angi means that which he has limbs. Angani yasya santi saha Angi. So it's stands for trunk of Brahma. Then the rest of the three stand for Angani, limbs. Angi, that which has limbs, the trunk. And Angani, the limbs, which are inseparable from the trunk. The Angi. Angi, Angani. So here, 2 feet of Brahma form one limb. 2 hands of Brahma form one limb. Then head is one. 3. So, Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Suvaha. 3 stand for limbs of Ishvara. And Maha stands for the trunk of Brahma. Which is understanding. Let us see what is being said here. We'll understand clearly everything. We have to learn to chant also correctly. As Sagunam Brahma, Hiranyagarbha stands for the entirety of Sukshma Prapanchaha, the entirety of the subtle manifestation, subtle universe. All subtle aspects are pervaded. Everything here is pervaded by Hiranyagarbheshwara. Therefore, we see these, the worlds, all the worlds are pervaded by Hiranyagarbha. Therefore, first, in this Anuvaka, we are going to see four meditations. Chattvari Upasanani. In the first meditation, we are going to see all the worlds as limbs of Ishvara. Then we are going to see all devatas. In the second meditation, all the devatas. All the devatas are pervaded by Hiranyagarbha. For all the devatas or devas are going to be visualized as limbs of Hiranyagarbha upon these Vyakritis. Then all four Vedas, of course, are also not outside of Ishvara. Bhagavan forms the very subject matter of Vedas. Therefore, there is another upasanam. All Vedas are going to be seen, visualized upon these Vyakritis. And all pranas, of course, are sustained by Samashti Prana, Ishvara. Therefore, we are going to have four upasanani. In each upasanam, we are going to meditate upon four aspects. The three aspects. So totally, there will be 12 factors will be meditated upon these Vyakritis, which are looked upon as limbs of Ishvara. Therefore, in these four meditations, Adhiloka Vyahrityupasanam, Adhideva Vyahrityupasanam, Adhiveda Vyahrityupasanam, Adhiprana Vyahrityupasanam. Because the meditation pertaining to lokas. So, Adhiloka Upasana, Upasanam. Adhideva Upasanam. Adhiveda Upasanam. Adhiprana Upasanam. Don't worry about it. Anything. We will understand very clearly, gradually. Anyway, all Upasanam, Pujya Swamiji always used to say in these classes, somehow, these meditative techniques have become extinct. Just meditations are mentioned. Even the tradition itself really does not talk much about these meditations, though meditations are mentioned in the Upanishads. Maybe the methods must have become extinct. That is why, without knowing the proper method, one should not practice any meditation, including Kundalini meditation. All meditations, the methods, the techniques have become extinct. Pujya Swamiji used to say in our classes. Okay, let us chant the mantra first. Om Bhor Bhovasuvaritiva Yetastisro Vyahrutayaha Bhor Bhovasuvaritiva Yetastisro Vyahrutayaha Yetaha Tisraha Vyahrutayaha. Simple kindergarten sentence. Okay, language. Yetaha tisraha vyahrutayaha. These are three vyahrutis, three auspicious utterances. What are they? Bhuhu bhuvaha suvaha iti. भोर्भुवस्सु वरितिवा एतास्तिस्रो व्याहृतयः भूः भुवः सुवः और दी स्त्री व्याहृति स्त्री ऑस्पिशियस अटरेंसेस तासामोहस्मैतां चतुर्थीं तासाम तासामोहस्मै तां चतुर्थीं तासाम उ ह स्म थ्री वर्ड्स आर थ्री साउंड्स आर उ ह स्म ओके तासाम एताम चतुर्थीम एताम चतुर्थीम तासामोहस्मै ताम चतुर्थीम ताम चतुर्थीम द फोर्थ वन एडेड टू देम तासाम मीन्स ऑफ Even that it means of these three, we have to take it as with these three, literally the word tasa means of these three, should take it as with these three, yetam chaturthim, leave these sounds, u, ha and sma, leave those three sounds. Then take the word etam, etam chaturthim. This fourth one added, this fourth one, who added, we'll see, to these three. With these three, to these three, he added the fourth one. What is fourth one? Who added this? Maha chamasya pravedayate. Maha chamasya is the name of a rishi. Maha chamasya. Maha chamasya pravedayate. Maha chamasya pravedayate. Pravedayate literally means reveals. Vedayate prave pra is a prefix. Pravedayate reveals. But definitely Rishi, when you think of the word Rishi, we do not even know the time. Definitely the verb must be taken as a past tense verb. The sage Mahachamasya reveals this fourth Vyakhritihi Mahaha. Maha iti. Maha chamasyaha. Mahaha iti. Yetam chaturthim pravedayate. The sage Maha chamasyaha reveals this fourth one. Mahaha. So he fourth one, Mahaha. With those three. Okay. With those three, Mahachamasyaha reveals the fourth, this fourth one, Mahaha. Okay. Which means we should take it as revealed. Which means Mahachamasyaha is the one, Rishi, who got this fourth Vyakhritihi revealed to him. Revealed to him. So he is the receiver of this fourth Vyakhritihi Mahaha. Mahaha iti. Maha chamasya pravedayate. Now you may be curious to know who is Mahachamasyaha. We do not know. We only really hear the name Mahachamasyaha. It is a Tadita Shabda, so we can understand Mahachamasyaha must be a sage who belonged to the lineage of another sage. Mahachamasaha, Mahachamasasya Gotrapatyam Puman Mahachamasyaha. Apatyam means son, but Gotrapatyam means what? One who comes in the lineage of the sage Mahachamasaha. Even though these details are not necessary, still I would like to say, because Shankara Bhagavatpada mentions Mahan Chamasaha means, the word Chamasaha has two meanings. One meaning is spoon, ladle. Another meaning is cup. So Mahan Chamasaha, yasya saha Mahachamasaha, the person of big ladle, the person of big cup is Mahachamasaha. So just as earlier we understood in other Upanishad, Mahanasaha means the person of big kitchen. Mean he must have fed a lot of people, he must have performed many rituals. Similarly, Mahachamasaha must have been a sage who must have lived long, 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 long ago. We do not know when. And he must have performed many, many rituals. And he must have even used this big person of big ladle means he must have been a person of many, performer of many rituals. Mahachamasaha. And this Mahachamasaha is another sage who must have, who might have, who would have come in the lineage of this Mahachamasaha. Therefore, he is known as Mahachamasyaha. And he has the honor of having discovered this, having fourth Vyakhritihi Mahaha. He is the one who revealed, means who got this Mahaha revealed to him in his tapas, during his meditation. Anyway, this is the Mahaha. And therefore, the word Mahaha, as I said already, which means a big, huge, great, which means, which is reverent, which deserves reverence, worshipful, which deserves worship, etc. Therefore, that Mahaha, having such a beautiful meaning, is what? Sa-atma. Sa-atma. Here, therefore, Saha means Saha Ishwaraha Hiranyagarbha. Saha Ishwaraha Hiranyagarbha Sagunam Brahma is Atma, means what? Here is something, is the one who has to be visualized, meditated upon this Mahaha. Saha Atma. So Saha means that. That means what? Here Hiranyagarbha. The masculine pronoun Saha stands for Hiranyagarbheshwaraha. Sagunam Brahma. Saha Atma means that. That Vyakhriti, okay, Saha is a Pullinga Shabda, but Vyakhriti is a Strilinga Shabda. Still we have to understand the following word is what? Atma. Therefore, this Mahaha is the Alambanam for Hiranyagarbha. Where Hiranyagarbheshwara is the one who is to be visualized upon, meditated upon this Mahaha. So Atma Anga Anyanya Devata Aha Anyaha devataha angani. All other devatas, all other gods, all the deities are the looked upon as the limbs of Hiranyagarbha. Why? Because Hiranyagarbha is all pervasive. All pervasive, being Ishvara, all devatas constitute Ishvara. Ishvara is not any of the devatas, but all devatas are within Ishvara. All devatas are pervaded by Ishvara. Therefore, all of the devatas are non-separate from Ishvara, non-different from Ishvara, pervaded by Ishvara, are looked upon as limbs of Ishvara. Om Bhur Bhavasu Varitiva Yetastisro Vyahrutayaha Tasamuhasmaitam Chaturthim Mahachamasyav Pravedayate Maha iti tad brahma sa atma anganyanya devata. Now we have to see Hiranyagarbha as the whole and see the Mahaha as the trunk of Hiranyagarbha and the head, feet and the legs. Legs together form one limb. Feet together form one limb, both hands together form one limb, and head is another limb. So, Mahaha stands for the trunk, and other three, Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Suvaha stand for head, feet, and hands. Let us remember this much. We are seeing literal meaning of the mantras. We will be seeing enough in the Bhashyam. Shankara Bhagavad Pada does not really write an elaborate commentary on this mantras. He gives very adequate commentary here, presents very adequate commentary, because he also must have thought that we would not be practicing this meditation. Bhuritiva ayan lokaha bhuvayit Tyantariksham Suvarityasau Lokaha Mahaitya Dityaha Aditya Navava Sarve Loka Mahiyante. I'm just reading only once, then I'll explain everything. Bhuritiva Agnihi Bhuvayiti Vayuhu Suvarityadityah Mahayiti Chandramaha Chandramasavava Sarvani Jyoti Gamshi Mahiyante Bhuriti Varchah Bhuvaiti Samani Suvariti Yajugamshi Mahayiti Brahma Brahmanava sarve veda mahiyante Bhuriti vai pranaha Bhuvaitya panaha Suvariti vyanaha Mahayityannam Annena vava sarve prana mahiyante Tava yetas chatasras chaturdham chatasras chatasro vyahrutayaha tayo veda saveda brahma sarve esmai deva balima vahanti. Just read the mantras. Okay. So here, let us see the Bhashyam. When we see the Bhashyam, we'll see the meaning of all possible meanings, necessary meanings of the words or the mantra in the commentary. Okay. So, Shankara Bhagavad Pada, how does he begin his commentary on this? Let us see. Samhita Vishayam. See, you will learn every word clearly. Don't worry. I'm going to read the Bhashyam first. Samhita Vishayam Upasanam Uktam. So Shankara Bhagavatpada says, before this fifth Anuvaka, what was seen, what was instructed? He says, Samhita Vishayam Upasanam Uktam. In the previous chapter, previous Anuvaka section, the meditation pertaining to the subject matter of euphonic combination, subject matter of Sandhi was known as Samhita Upasanam, was mentioned. Samhita Vishayam Upasanam Uktam. Meditation on subject matter of Sandhi was said in the previous section, mentioned in the previous section. Then after that meditation, Tadanu means following that topic of Samhitopasanam, Medha Kamasya Shri Kamasya Mantraha Anukrantaha. Following that meditation, see, Shankara Bhagavatpada does not want us to forget what was said, what was discussed in the previous section. Because in the previous section also there was meditation mentioned, merely mentioned, though it was not, meditation was not taught. The practice of meditation was not taught. The meditation was mentioned. That meditation was on subject matter of the euphonic combination of letters, Sandhi. And not only meditation was said, Tadanu, along with that meditation, topic of meditation, Mantraha Anukrantaha. Mantras also were there. And which mantras? Medha Kamasya Shri Kamasya. For whose sake? Medha Kamasya. For a person who is desirous of having good power of intellection, and also for the person who is aspiring for wealth, for their sake, mantras also were mentioned. Mantraha Anukrantaha. So following the topic of meditation, there were mantras mentioned for a person who is aspiring for good power of intellection, and also for the person who is aspiring for wealth. And those mantras were meant for recitation and homa. Tadanu medha kamasya shri kamasya mantraha anukrantaha. Okay. Techa means te mantraha. Cha parampariyena, very important sentence. Parampariyena vidya upayoga arthaha. Vidya upayoga arthaha. Vidyopayogarthaha eva. So what Shankara Bhagavatpada says in his commentary, those mantras which were mentioned in the previous section following the topic of meditation, though they were meant for recitation, meant for homa, though they were meant for a person who is aspiring for medha shakti and wealth, ultimately, they're meant for the attainment of jnanam only. Vidya upayoga arthaha. Vidya upayogarthaha eva. What does it mean? Though those mantras do not give knowledge directly, they serve as means of mantras recited, mantras used, chanted, with the Shraddha definitely serve as means of mental preparation, means of preparing the mind for the attainment of Jnanam. Therefore, they paramparayena indirectly or sequentially, they are meant for the attainment of Jnanam. Techa mantra and those mantras, te mantraha, paramparayena vidya upayogarthaha eva. So we should not take simply those mantras are to be recited only for good power of intellection. Those mantras are recited only for performing ritual to get money, to get wealth. No. Ultimately, they meant for the attainment of Jnanam. Because how paramparayena, they're not directly contributing for the attainment of Jnanam. Indirectly, successively, by contributing for mental preparation required for the attainment of Jnanam, they are meant for ultimately attainment of Jnanam only. Techa paramparayena vidya upayogarthaha eva. Got it? Okay. Anantaram. Okay. Anantaram means what? After. Vyakrityatmanaha brahmanaha antarupasanam swarajya phalam prastuyate. Anantaram means what? So after having discussed this content in the previous fourth section, thereafter, anantaram, now in this fifth section, in this panchamaha anuvakaha, vyahrityatmanaha brahmanaha antarupasanam swarajya phalam prastuyate. Here it is introduced. Now in this fifth section, after that it is introduced. What is introduced? Anupasanam, meditation. Antarupasanam, definitely meditation. Invoking the grace of what? Brahma, Sagunam Brahma Ishwaraha, who is in the form of Vyakritis. Vyakrityatma Brahma means what? Vyakrityatma Brahma means Sagunam Brahma Ishwaraha is in the form of all auspicious utterances. So Vyakrityatmanaha Brahmanaha Antarupasanam Prastuyate. Here in this section, the meditation upon Sagunam Brahma Ishwaraha, who is in the form of Vyakritis, is introduced. And this Upasanam also has the result of attainment of Swarajyam. Swarajya Phalam Upasanam. Upasanam with the benefit of practicing which will result in the attainment of Swarajyam. Please make a note. Swarat means Raj, king. King is called Swarat. An emperor is called Swarat. Swarajyam means empire. Here, Brahmaloka is also said to be Swarajyam, an empire of Brahma. So Swarajyam is the phalam, means what? Brahmaloka is the result, which can be attained as a result of practicing this meditation. Because Sagunam Brahma, Hiranyagarbha is the Upasya Devata here, Upasya Ishwaraha. So here, anantaram, thereafter, after presenting those contents in the previous section, in this fifth anuvaka, internal meditation is internal only. So upasanam, the meditation, invoking in one's mind the grace of Ishvara, the Hiranyagarbha, who is in the form of Vyakritis, is introduced with a benefit of attainment of Brahma Loka, otherwise said to be Swarajyam. Anantaram Vyakrityatmanaha Brahmanaha Antarupasanam Swarajya Phalam Prastuyate. Got it? Okay. Go to next. Okay. Now, if you see the first mantra, he introduces, as he said already, Shankara Bhagavatpada does not really write an elaborate commentary on this section at all. See the first mantra alone. Bhor bhavasubaritiva etas tisro vyahrutayah tasa mohasmaitancha turthim mahachamasya pravedayate mahayiti tad brahma sa atma Anganyanya Devata. I gave the literal meaning of this first mantra. And I see the case commentary on this first one. Bhorbhovasuvariti. He stops there, Shankara Bhagavatpada, and he gives the meaning of the word iti. Iti. We know very well. We have understood the literal meaning of the mantra, bhoho, bhovaha, suvaha, or three vyahritis. We know that. But iti, the word iti is used in the mantra. What is this iti for? So Shankaracharya says, iti, ukta upapradarshanarthaha. Iti, iti shabdaha, ukta pradarshanarthaha. Pradarshanam means showing. That to refer. Pradarshanaya, pradarshanartham. Ukta pradarshanartha means what? Here, the word iti, here, iti is an indeclinable word, which means thus. You know this very well. The word iti here refers to the three vyakritis already mentioned in the mantra. Ukta pradarshanartha bhuhu bhuvaha suvaha iti. Ukta pradarshanartha iti only shows, the word iti shows, the word iti refers to the three vyakritis mentioned in the mantra. Okay. Then etaha tisraha iti cha pradarshitanam paramarshartha. Now, already bhuhu bhavaha suvaha are known to the Vedic student. Now, etaha tisraha, these three vyakritis, these three iti cha. Why? In this mantra, it is said these three. The mention of these three, the mention of the Vyakritis as these three is for paramarshartaha, paramarshaha. See, paramarshaha means drawing the attention. Drawing the attention is paramarshaha. Paramarshanam, paramarshaha means drawing the attention of the mind. Attention goes here and there. So, paramarshartaha, etaha tisraha, when specifically you say etaha tisraha, the mention of these three is for drawing the attention of the student to these already shown Vyakritis. Pradarshitanam paramarshartaha. Bhor bhuvasu varitiva etas tisro vyahrutayaha. First mentioning bhogu bhavaha suvaha, then etaha tisraha. That expression etaha tisraha, that statement etaha tisraha is specifically to draw the attention of the student towards these revealed Vyakritis. Why should they be brought to attention? The reason is given. Paramrishtaha smaryante vai ityanena. Now you can see the meaning of the word vai. Okay. Tasamuhasmaitam chaturthim. Paramrishtaha. Paramrishtaha. Va should be taken as here vai. Paramrishta is a past passive participle. Paramrishta means that which has been brought to one's attention is paramrishta. Those Vyakritis which were brought to one's attention, of course, become what? Remembered. Anything which is brought to attention will be remembered. Smaryante, paramrishtaha, smaryante va ityanena. That why alone is here, it says va. Why ityanena. By this one, there's no specific meaning, meaningless word only that is. Why is used here? By this expression, why? Paramrishtaha. All those Vyakritis which were brought to one's attention become remembered. Smaryante. Suppose if you have to remember anything, that has to be repeatedly brought to your attention. Don't forget, remember this. Don't forget, remember this. Means what? Anything which is brought to your attention is to help you remember that, isn't it? So here also, paramrishtaha. See, paramarshaha noun. Paramrishta participle. Past passive participle, isn't it? Paramrishtaha. Vyakritayaha, those Vyakritis which were brought to one's attention, smaryante, are remembered, become remembered. By the expression, vai. So, va alone, vai becomes va because it is followed by e sound, e letter. Ityanena. Vaityanena paramrishtaha smaryante tisraha etaha tisraha. Don't forget ekam dve trini trini three number three English three trini pustakani trayaha vedaha trayaha lokaha. Now tisraha Vyakritaya. Tisraha, trini, trayaha, all the three words mean three only in Sanskrit. But tisraha is feminine gender word. Tisraha. Etaha, tisraha. These three Vyakritayaha. Etaha, tisraha, Vyakritayaha. Prasiddhaha, Vyakritayaha. Tisraha, etaha, prasiddhaha, Vyakritayaha. These three well-known Vyakritis, auspicious utterances, bhuhu bhuvaha suvaha, or smaryante, or remembered. So, all these three auspicious utterances, bhuhu bhuvaha suvaha, or remembered means, Upanishad makes specific effort to help us remember these Our Upanishad wants to remind us these vyakritis. Yetaha tisraha prasiddhaha vyakritayaha smaryante tavat. The passive voice sentence, you remember, I think, smaryante, these are remembered well. They do not become forgotten. See, bhurbhuvasu variti. There, that first iti is what? That iti, and then iti, ukta pradarshanartha. There, the iti is actually part of the mantra. And at second time, that iti, iti is to say that it refers. The word iti refers to the three vyakritis. Is it clear? Can I go ahead? Okay. Tasam. No, tasam. He goes on to the next word. Tasam. Tasam means of these. But I should take it as to these. Four. Iyam chaturthi vyakritihi. See, iyam means this. Feminine pronoun. This. Iyam. Iyam is equal to yesha. Iyam chaturthi vyakritihi. This fourth vyakritihi. Mahaha iti. Tasam iyam chaturthi vyakritihi mahaha iti. This fourth vyakritihi mahaha is added to these three vyakritis. Tam etam chaturthi chaturthim. Mahachamasyasya apatyam mahachamasyaha pravedayate. Tam yetam chaturthi mahachamasasya apatyam mahachamasasya apatyam mahachamasyaha pravedayate. Tam etam chaturthim mahachamasasya apatyam mahachamasyaha pravedayate. So this mahachamasyaha, the sage mahachamasyaha, who belongs to the lineage of the sage Mahachamasaha, reveals this fourth vyakritihi mahaha. Then you must be wondering, what is the meaning of the ha, sma? So Shankaracharya says here, tasa mohasmaitam chaturthim. Are you all following? Tasa mohasmaitam chaturthim. There you have what? Tasam u ha smai. That the sma, you break it, sma plus etam, isn't it? That u ha sma iti yetesham. Why these are all mentioned? U ha sma. They are simply mentioned for what? Yetesham vritta anukathana arthatvat. Vritta anukathana arthatvat. Viditavan dadarsha ityartha. Vritta anukathana arthatvat. Anukathanam means stating, revealing, narrating. Vritta means what happened. Therefore, u ha sma. These three words. They're not meaning words, they're just the expressions. Uhasma. These three expressions used in the mantra refer to actually what happened long ago, what happened, what would have happened, what happened once upon a time. Anukathana artatvam they have. Anukathana artatvatu. So how did we get this Mahaha? Mahaha was revealed by the sage Mahachamasaha. Mahachamasyaha. And Mahachamasyaha definitely must have come in the lineage of the great sage Mahachamasaha. So iti, this is the narration of or stating what would have happened, what happened once upon a time. So uhasma, etc., these expressions are simply to refer to what happened long ago. This sage who got this Maha revealed to him. Having got it revealed to him, he revealed to the world. And who was he? He was Mahachamasya. Why was he called Mahachamasya? We do not know what exactly was his name. He must have been a sage who would have come in the lineage of the person who would have performed many, many, many rituals. Therefore, who was known as Mahachamasaha. This is vritta, anuvritta, okay? So, simply for narrating what would have happened once upon a time, these expressions are used. Uhasma iti yetesham vritta anukathanarthatvat. Okay. Now, from here, from this narration, from this, what do we understand? The word pravedayate, which is in the present tense, which is the present tense verb. The pravedayate is a present tense verb. But it should be taken as the past tense verb. So Shankara Bhagavatpada says, viditavan. Viditavan means what? He knew. He got it. He saw. So he got it. He got it revealed to him. Thereby he revealed that same to the world. It means dadarsha had seen. Viditavan is equal. Pravedayate means what? He saw. He saw means he got it revealed. He is a mantra drashta. Mahachamasyaha is the mantra drashta. Mantra drashta is the one seer of the mantra, means receiver of the mantra, who got the mantra revealed to him. Okay. Viditavan means dadarsha. Dadarsha had seen means he got it received, revealed to him. He is the receiver of the mantra. Okay. So, uhasma, all these expressions simply narrate what had happened once upon a time, how we got this fourth Vyahrutihi Mahaha. Okay. Tasam Iyam Chaturthi Vyahrutim Vyahrutihi Mahaha Iti Tam Etam Chaturthim Mahachamasasya apatyam mahachamasya pravedayate uhasma iti etesham vritta anukathanarthatvat viditavan is equal to dadarsha ityartha viditavan tavatanta shabda. Dadarsha is a past perfect tense verb. So viditavan is equal to dadarsha, had seen. Had received the mantra. So what do you get from this content? Same I have already told you. So Mahatamasyaha received this mantra and he revealed that mantra to the world. And which mantra is now connected, added to those three already known Vyakritis. Okay. Next, Shankara Bhagatpada says, Maha Chamasya Grahanam Arsha Anusmaranartham Maha Chamasya Grahanam Maha Chamasya Grahanam here means remembering Maha Chamasyaha or mentioning the name of the Rishi as Maha Chamasyaha, alluding to Maha Chamasyaha is, what's the purpose? Maha Chamasya Grahanasya Karanam Kim Maha Chamasya Grahanam Maha Chamasyasya Grahanam Maha Chamasya Grahanam Arsha Anusmaranartham. It is specifically for remembering the say Rishi. Arsha Anusmaranam. Anusmaranam means what? Remembering. Remembering of whom? Arsha Rishi. Arsha Anusmaranam means remembering the Rishi. Mahachamasya Grahanam. He is specifically mentioning the name of Mahachamasyaha is for remembering the Rishi. Why should we remember? Two things. Remembering the Rishi is to express our gratitude to the Rishi. Express our gratitude for having given what he had received to us. For expressing our gratitude to the sage for having given us that Vyakriti Mahaha, which he had received. In fact, expressing one's gratitude for whatever we enjoy from anybody is an amazing Vedic attitude, that is. Expressing one's gratitude is a Vedic. In Vedic Dharma, always being grateful and expressing one's gratitude towards others. You feel grateful, you express your gratitude also. Sometimes you feel grateful but you not express it. Expression of gratitude is also equally important. So here, the Arsha Anusmaranartham Mahachamasya Grahanam, here remembering the Mahachamasya, mention the name of Mahachamasya, alluding to Mahachamasya is specifically for remembering the Rishi as an expression of our gratitude to the Rishi for having given us this Vyakritihi Mahaha. Rishi Smaranam Api Upasanangam Iti Gamyate. So from this, what is understood? Iti Gamyate. Gamyate, it is understood here that Rishi Smaranam Api, remembering the say Rishi also is part of meditation. Upasana Angam. When we are meditating, practice meditation, we always remember the Rishi. That is why in all our stotrams also, we always first say Vedavya, even Vishu Sahasranama, when we chant, we mention the name of the Rishi. Who is the Rishi? In every Devi Mahatyam, Vishu Sahasranama, Lalita Sahasranama, any big Puranic stotras you read, there we mention the Rishi. This, we mention many things. The meter, the chandas, kilakam, Rishi, etc. So Rishi Smaranam is very important. Why? Because Rishismaranam api upasana angam, upasanasya angam, upasanangam. Rishehe smaranam, rishismaranam. Rishismaranam kimartam, rishismaranam, rishismaranam api upasanasya angam, upasanangam. It's a part of meditation. That is how you express your gratitude to the rishis. This is understood from this context. Because the name Mahachamasya's name is mentioned, it is understood that remembering the Rishi is part of meditation. Rishi smaranam api upasanangam iti gamyate. Iha upadeshat, iho upadeshat. When you say upasanaya, upasanasya angam, what does it mean? It's a part of meditation, means remembering the Rishi is a part of meditation, means the meditation, the discipline of meditation is inclusive of remembering the Rishi. If we do not remember the Rishi, we practice meditation, meditation becomes what? Incomplete. It is not properly then action, then it will not serve the purpose. So it is compulsory. It's a mandate now. So iha upadeshat means what? Here in this particular mantra, from the teaching given in this context, iha here, upadeshat, from the teaching given here, it gamyate, it is understood that remembering the Rishi is part of meditation. Rishismaranam api upasanangam iti gamyate iha upadeshat. From the teaching given here, it is understood. This fact is understood. So without remembering the Rishi, if you simply practice meditation, you have left a part of meditation, which means it is not properly done meditation. So it will not be effective. Okay. Now, ya iyam yeyam maha chamasyena drishta vyahritihi mahaha iti. Now he explains, ya iyam vyahritihi, that vyahritihi mahaha, that vyahritihi which was received, which was seen, which was revealed to, which was seen by the sage Rishi Mahachamasyaha. Ya iyam mahachamasyena drishta vyahritihi, ya vyahritihi, yam vyahritihi, ya mahachamasyena drishta, that vyahritihi, this one mahaha, which was seen by mahachamasyaha. What does it mean? Which was seen by mahachamasyaha means, which was received by mahachamasyaha. As mahaha, maha iti, that vyahritihi mahaha is what? Tat brahma means that symbolizes brahma. Brahma here means what? Sagunam brahma. So it is where first Shankara Bhagavatpada explains. Mahachamasyena drishta ya iyam vyahritihi mahaha iti tad brahma. That specific vyahritihi received by, seen by Mahachamasyaha as mahaha, that is, that symbolizes sagunam brahma hiranyagarbha tad brahma. Why does Mahaha symbolize, why does Maha represent Brahma? Mahad hi kila Brahma. Mahat hi kila Brahma, because Brahma is Mahat. Mahat means what? Mahat stands for the whole, the totality, entirety. Mahat means big, and the big here means entirety, totality. Therefore, Hiranyagarbha, meant by the Sagunam Brahma, Hiranyagarbha Sagunam Brahma refers to the entirety of the entirety, the totality, the whole. And here, the Vyakriti Mahaha is also refers to something big. Therefore, Mahat, why it is Mahaha? It is, he is explaining, Mahati cha Vyakritihi, Mahati kila Brahma. So, the Sagunam Brahma, Hiranyagarbha, refers to the whole, W-H-O-L-E, okay, the whole, entirety, totality. And Vyakritihi cha Mahati, and this utterance, the fourth auspicious utterance, Mahaha, is also Mahati, is also big. Big means what? From the stand, when with reference to all other Vyakritis. Bhuhu Bhavaha Suvaha. The reference to all other Vyakritis. This Vyakritihi Mahaha is also big. Vyakritihi Mahati Brahma Mahat. See, Mahat also means big. Mahati also means big, great. Mahati is Trilinga Shabdaha. Vyakritihi Mahati Brahma Mahat. So Brahma refers to totality, entirety. Therefore, Brahman is big. And Vyakriti is also Mahati, big. Because with reference to all other Vyakritis, Maha is big. Kim Punaha Tat. Tat Kim. What is that, Brahma? Tat Kim Punaha, Kim Punaha Tat. Now, what is that? Tat means Tat Brahma we saw before. So the question is asked. He himself is answering as if we do not know, as if we have to understand, as if we do not know, means we really do not know. So Shankara Bhagavatpada makes it very clear. Kim Punaha Tat. Then, what is that Brahma, Sagunam Brahma? Who is Hiranyagarbha? So, Hiranyagarbha is Ishvara. Saha Atma. Saha Atma means what? All pervasive. That Hiranyagarbha is all pervasive Lord. Hiranyagarbha is that Sagunam Brahma. The Tat refers to Sagunam Brahma. Sagunam Brahma is Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha is Ishvara. Ishvara means who? All pervasive Lord. Saha Atma. So here the word Atma does not mean the word implying consciousness. Here the word Atma means all pervasive Lord. And Shankaracharya explains here, Apnotehe Vyapti Karmanaha Atma. Because the word Atma is derived from the root Ap, and from which we get this verb apnoti. Apnoti means pervades. Apnoti means attains. Prapnoti, apnoti means attains. And attaining, that which attains everywhere is what? That which pervades everywhere. That which has already attained. That which pervades has attained everything already. That is why apnotehe. means of the verb apnoti, derived from the root ap, has the meaning of all pervasiveness. The verb apnoti, derived from the root ap, has the meaning of all pervasiveness. And the atma is an adjective derived from the same root. So apnoti iti atma, all pervasive. Ishvara is all pervasive. See, every devata being part of Ishvara, the fraction of Ishvara, Ishvara the whole is pervasive of all the devatas, the parts, the fractions. The ocean, the whole, is pervasive of all the waves, each and every wave. Wave does not pervade the ocean, but ocean is inclusive and pervasive of the waves. Wave is not inclusive or pervasive of the ocean, but ocean is inclusive and pervasive of all the waves. Similarly, devata is not inclusive or pervasive of the Ishvara, whereas Ishvara is inclusive and pervasive of all the devatas. Therefore, here Ishvara, Sagunam Brahma Ishvara, as the whole, remaining as the whole, remaining as the entirety, remaining as the totality, is Atma. That Brahma means what? That Ishvara is the whole, who is pervasive of everything that is here. Apnotehe vyapti karmanaha atma. See, vyapti karma means what? Vyapti karma, the act of pervading, the function of pervading. But we don't take it as being pervasive is not an action. Please make a note. Whenever you discuss a verb, you try to understand the meaning of the verb. We talk about the action denoted by a given verb. Okay. Every verb denotes a given action. But some verbs do not denote the action. They denote the nature. Like prakashayati. Prakashayati illumines. Sun illumines. Even though sun illumines, when you say Suryaha prakashayati, the verb prakashayati is a verb. It should denote an action. But the verb prakashayati illumines, the verb prakash, the verb prakashayati derived from the root kash, the prefix pra, does not denote the act of illumining. It reveals the nature of illumining. Similarly here, apnotehe vyapti karmanaha means what? This verb apnoti, derived from the root ap, denotes the act of pervasiveness. Vyapti means pervasiveness. But here not the action, nature of pervasiveness. Therefore, the Brahma is Atma. Atma means all pervasive Ishvara, who is in the form of entirety, who is in the form of the whole, the totality, who is inclusive and pervasive of all that is here, devatas, lokas, Vedas, everything here. Okay. We are still in the first mantras only. Let me read one more sentence and then stop. Itaraha cha vyahritayaha. Now we have understood that mahaha. Mahaha symbolizes Hiranyagarbha, Sagunam Brahma, Ishwaraha, the whole. We understood. And which was discovered by Mahachamasyaha. Okay. Itaraha cha vyahritayaha. And other vyahritis. Itaraha vyahritayaha. Other vyahritis, the rest of the vyahritis, bhohu, bhuvaha, suvaha. They symbolize what? Mahaha symbolizes. Maha stands for Sagunam Brahma Ishwara. What about other vyahritis? Itaraha vyahritayaha. Other three vyahritis, bhohu, bhuvaha, suvaha, symbolize what? Lokaha. So in first meditation, they symbolize lokaha, worlds. Then devaha, all the natural phenomena revered as devatas or devas. Then those three also symbolize vedaha. They also symbolize pranaha. Lokaha, devaha, vedaha, pranaha. Because Hiranyagarbha is samashti pranaha. All pranas are pervaded by Hiranyagarbha. All Vedas are from Hiranyagarbha. All devatas form part of Hiranyagarbha. All lokas enjoy existence in Hiranyagarbha. Therefore, Hiranyagarbha pervades the worlds, pervades devas, pervades Vedas, pervades pranas. Therefore, lokaha, devaha, vedaha, pranaha. These are the things which are symbolized by other vyahrutis. Mahaha ityanena vyahrityatmana. Aditya, Chandra, Brahma, Annabhutena, Vyapyante, Yataha, Ataha, Angani, Avayavaha, Anyaha, Devataha. Okay, now this Hiranyagarbha was symbolized by this Mahaha Vyahriti. All the worlds, all the devas, all the Vedas, all pranas are all pervaded, vyapyante. Everything here is pervaded by Hiranyagarbha, symbolized by the Vyahruti Mahaha. Therefore, Hiranyagarbha is Angi, and all other Vyahruti, the Mahaha is Angi. Mahaha is Angi. Other Vyahrutis are Angani. Angani means Avayavaha, limbs. So Mahaha is the trunk, and other Vyahrutis are the limbs. Angi, Angani. Maha is Angi Vyahritihi. The rest are Angani. Angani means Avayavaha. Anyaha Devataha Avayavaha. So Hiranyagarbha is Angi. All other Devatas are limbs of Hiranyagarbha. Angani. Similarly, here the Vyahritiha Maha is the Angi. And the other Vyahritis are Angani. Devata Grahanam Upalakshanartham Lokadinam. Why only Devata is mentioned here? Just mention of Devata here is only an Upalakshanam. Upalakshanam means only just by stating devatas, not only devatas, all worlds, all devas, all Vedas, all pranas are pervaded by Hiranyagarbha. Therefore, here Hiranyagarbha is Angi, and all, everything here in the world are like limbs of the Lord. So we are going to see other, tomorrow it might become much, much clearer. Okay. We are going to see four meditations. In each meditation, we'll see Hiranyagarbha as the Angi. And first, in the first meditation, we'll see four worlds as Angani. Right. The worlds as three limbs of Hiranyagarbha. And we'll see Devas as limbs in the next meditation. We'll see Vedas as limbs. We'll see pranas as limbs. We'll have four meditations. Vyakriti Upasanam. See, in this, in simply understanding the Upasanam mentioned itself, Upanishad and Shankara Bhagavatpada are trying to make us understand the fact that Ishwaraha stands for, Ishwaraha means the whole. All that is here is, as world is Ishwara. All that is here as world is nothing but Ishwaraha. This fact they're trying to make us see, even in simply mentioning the Upasanams. It becomes much clearer only when we complete the whole section. Don't worry, I'll explain again tomorrow. Okay?